translation. Thus, by all this, the external feature of the personality of Godhead is covered by gross forms, such as those of planets, which were explained to you by me. Purport, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita 7.4, the separated material energy of the personality of Godhead is covered by 8 kinds of material coverings: earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and force. All these are emanations from the personality of Godhead as his external energy. These coverings are just like the coverings of clouds for the sun. The cloud is a creation of the sun, yet it actually covers the eyes so that one cannot see the sun. The sun cannot be covered by the clouds. The cloud can at most extend a few hundred of miles in the sky, but the sun is far greater than millions of miles. So a 100-mile covering is not competent to cover millions of miles. Therefore, one of the various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot, of course, cover the Lord. But these coverings are created by him to cover the eyes of the conditioned souls who want to lord it over the material nature. Actually, the conditioned souls are covered by the illusory creative cloud of matter, and the Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to their eyes. Because they have no eyes of transcendental vision, and because they cannot see the personality of Godhead, they therefore deny the existence of the Lord and the transcendental form of the Lord. The covering of the gigantic material feature is accepted by such men with a poor fund of knowledge. And how this is so is explained in the following verse. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanam Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapat Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanshta Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sanjeevam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Saganalita Shri Vishakan Vitanshta. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishbhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubriksha Kripasindhu Bhaivacha Patidanam Pavanebeo Vaishnavebeo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshatarine. Hare Krishna. So before beginning, I seek the blessings of all assembled Vaishnavas so that the meaningful words in the glorification of Supreme Lord come out of my mouth for the pleasure of Vaishnavas assembled. So this verse basically is a conclusion of description. We see this verse's translation is beginning by, thus by all this. That means there was some description going on and now it's being concluded. So this is the description of the universal form of the Lord. Now, in Bhagavatam, if we see technically in the second canto, there are three descriptions of the universal form. The first one appears in the first chapter, in the conversation between Parikshit and Shukdev, Parikshit Mahaj and Shukdev Goswami, where the universal form is described as an object of meditation for attached yogi. Basically, attached yogi is attached, as it says, attached yogi. So, it's very difficult for an attached yogi to appreciate the supremacy of bhakti yoga and transcendental form of the Lord. So there this universal form is described in around 12 verses, something like that, from 2126 to 2137, in which universal form is explained, and different parts of universal form corresponding to different planets, elements and qualities are described. And particularly there, in three verses, 14 planetary systems are described as limbs of the universal form. So we see that here in the translation, Prabhupada is saying that, such as those of planets. So this is how it's linked. So the first description comes in the first, chapter of universal form. Then second time description of universal form appears in the fifth chapter, at the end of fifth chapter and the beginning of sixth chapter, where again in 24 verses there are description of the planets as limbs of universal form. Different planets are in the, limbs of the universal form. And there it's being explained at how Garbhodakshay Vishnu limbs provide the ingredients of this universe. How the different limbs of Garbhodakshay Vishnu provides the ingredients of the universe. So now after hearing these two descriptions of the universal form, Parikshit Maharaj basically asks a question in 8th chapter, in the 11th verse, which goes like this. The 11th verse is that, O learned Brahmana, Parikshit is saying, it was formally explained that all the planets of the universe with their respective governors are situated in the different parts of the gigantic body of the Virat Purusha. I have also heard that the different planetary systems are supposed to be in the gigantic body of the Virat Purusha. But what is their actual position? Will you please explain that? So this was the verse in the 8th chapter, 11th verse. So here Srila Prabhupada doesn't give any purport, but Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Sarad Darshan he explains, and he links this question to the two verses in the first description and the second description. So what happened was, if in the first description, in the first chapter, in the 26th verse, the different, all the planets of the universe with their respective governors were described as being situated in the different parts of the body of Virat Purusha. And then again it was being explained in the 5th chapter. So Parikshit was basically asking more details about it. And so to explain more details to Parikshit Maharaj and how does it actually happens, so in reference to the 1st chapter and 5th chapter, now this third description comes of the universal form, which goes in the around 26 verses from the 10th verse of this chapter, 2:10:10 to 2:10:35. So that's this little background of why this verse appears, or why we are reading again and again this universal form description. But this is the third description in the second canto. So when I was reading this verse, I was also thinking that again the third time this description is coming. And this somehow for devotees, it's like these types of descriptions are like, oh, we want to hear about something simple and something sweet. Why this, all this like the elaborate descriptions of the universal form and so much technical. So this all, I was also wondering, then I found the answer in the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that basically before appreciating the sweetness of the Lord, or before understanding the Vrindavan pastimes of the Lord, one has to learn to appreciate the opulence of the Lord. So before understanding Vrindavan Leela, one has to understand the Srishti Leela. At how Lord creates this universe, how this happens. Now Parikshit Maharaj was the busy monarch. He was the monarch of, the whole, basically, earth. And he was destined to die in the 7 days. But still he is taking time again and again to clarify this subject matter. So the third time he is clarifying. So, and Prabhupada also explains that how the devotees appreciate, devotees even in the higher rasas like Madhurya Rasa, they also appreciate these pastimes. Generally, these types of pastimes are being appreciated more by those in the Shant and Dasya rati, those who are more in the shant and dasya mood, mellow. But still, those who are in the higher rasas, they also appreciate these verses. So Prabhupada explains that Lord's pastimes in internal potency are displayed by his activities in Vrindavan, through his internal potency. But his external potential works are described in the features of the Purush avataras. His external potential works. That's why this in translation, Prabhupada is saying, thus by all this, external feature of the personality of Godhead is described, covered by the gross form such as those planets which were explained to you by me. So basically the three Purusha avataras, like Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Shirodakshaya Vishnu, they are the super souls, in different ways. The Mahavishnu is being described as the super soul of the entire material creation. Similarly, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is described as super soul of individual universe. And Shirodakshaya Vishnu is being described as super soul present in the hearts of all living entities. So in that way, it's being like to see that Krishna is everywhere in the form of a super soul. So where will we go? wherever we go, wherever we turn our face, we can find Krishna as being super soul. And without the mercy of the super soul, nothing is possible. He is the main feature in the creation. He is the main feature in the maintenance. He is the main feature in the annihilation. So in this way, conditioned jiva is to say, in one way, is an utterly dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord or Super Soul in all spheres of life. In all spheres of life, we are utterly dependent. And this utter dependence is being described by the Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a very beautiful song. This song comes as Tumi Sarva Eshwar Eshwar Brajendra Kumar Tomar Ichhaye Vishwa Sijana Sanhar. That, O Krishna, you are the Lord of the Lords. And with your desire, the creation and the maintenance and destruction happens. Tav Ichha Mat Brahma Karena Sijan. Tav Ichha Mat Vishnu Karena Palan. Brahma creates because of your desire. Vishnu maintains because of your desire. Shiva annihilates because of your desire. Tav Ichha Mate Shiva Karena Sanhar. Tav Ichha Mate Maya Sajay Karagar. So everything is happened by the desire of the Supreme Lord. And in that way, if we look at this, that it's basically the Lord's desire that all this sarga, visarga, portion, everything, all the 10 subjects of Bhagavatam are happening by the desire of the Supreme Lord. And ultimately the summum bonum is Krishna himself. So we are seeing in these verses, the sarga is being explained. Then from the 36th verse, visarga will be explained in short and then in detail in the later cantos. So whether the primary creation or secondary creation or maintenance, everything is being done by the Supreme Lord's mercy. This is being explained here. Now, this being said so, the question comes that why conditioned jiva is actually suffering? So therefore, like here it's being said, that tav ichha mate maya sajay karagar. Now what was the need to make this karagar? Because we as a conditioned soul wanted to lord it over the material nature. So this maya karagar is being created. Karagar means basically a jail. But this universe is like, in one sense we see that is a jail. Like we read from the Prabhupada's purport, the separated material energy of the personality of Godhead is covered by the 8 kinds of material coverings. So these coverings of, the portrait which is being painted by the devotees, in which the universal egg is being described. So we see that it is being covered by the earth, then water, air, ether, sky, and mind, intelligence, and ego. So in that way, it's like a covering. So many coverings are there. So it's like a jail. It's like a jail. We are being covered in so many different ways. And Prabhupada explains here that the cloud, gives the example of beautiful example of a cloud. That what this is being, these coverings are just like the coverings of the clouds for the sun. Now, technically speaking, the cloud is the creation of sun. I mean, cloud is a creation of sun. So if the cloud is a creation of sun, then the cloud doesn't have the capacity to cover the sun. And cloud may extend for the million of miles, but it cannot cover the sun. This is what Srila Prabhupada is explaining. So, Maya is basically the illusory potency of the Lord, which is very beautifully described in the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Dite arth yat pratiyet na pratiyet cha atmani tat vidyat atmano mayam yatha abhasu yatha tama. There the translation goes, Krishna is saying to the Brahma in this Chatushloki Bhagavatam, this verse, that, O Brahma, whatever appears of value, if there is something which is being appearing of the value, okay, there is some value, but it has no relationship with me, with Krishna, then it has no reality. So if something is appearing to be of value, I mean, in the illusion of the cloud, under the illusion of the cloud, or under the, I mean to say, covering of the cloud, something may appear to be very real and of very, very valuable, but it has no value if it is not in relationship with Krishna. And Krishna is further describing in that translation, know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be darkness. So, it's basically illusory energy, it appears to be real like a mirage, but it has no value. It may appear to be very fascinating or whatever to us. So as described in Bhagavatam at many times, that Krishna is the only vastav vastu, only vastav, only reality. If it is Krishna. And if there is any reality which appears, it appears because of relationship with Krishna. So in that way, if we see the illusion in relationship to Krishna, then it's no more illusion. In the sense, it's like the external potency of the Krishna. So, I mean, when I was reading and contemplating upon it, so one pastime also came to my mind. When Prabhupada was there on a flight, a pilot came to Prabhupada and he asked a philosophical question which actually bewilders lots of philosophers and the thinkers of the world. He asked, Swamiji, is there an evil in the God? Or is the God being touched by the problems of this world? And Prabhupada in a very short, in one line answered, in the sun total, there is no darkness. That means like Krishna, as a Supreme Lord, is not touched or disturbed by the problems of this world. Or Krishna is not like touched by the evil of the world. As in the sun total, there is no darkness. Which again, Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this purport, that sun cannot be, covered by the clouds. So Krishna is the Dokshaj and Krishna cannot be covered by this cloud of Maya. And again, this verse comes, very beautiful verse, which is used in the Back to Godhead magazine. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Andhakar Yaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhikar Shishirada Gokulananda Ki Shita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Shikonitai ki Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we conditioned souls want to lord it over material nature. Therefore, by the desire of the Supreme Lord, this cloud of Maya is being created. This cloud is being created. So this is all to fulfill the stupid, foolish desires of the conditioned souls. in simple words, because to make it more internal, I want to lord it over the material nature because of my foolish desire. So Krishna is creating, okay, you have this cloud of Maya, and you, because I want to forget Krishna, so Krishna, out of his unconditional love, allows me to forget himself. But irony is that even in that forgetfulness, I am dependent upon Krishna. Because without forgetting Krishna, I cannot enjoy my senses. And even if I, and when I am trying to enjoy my senses, then also I am utterly dependent upon Krishna. I am utterly dependent upon this Purushavatara super soul. Why? Because we see that when the Lord desired, there was like to eat, there was tongue. When Lord desired to evacuate, so this organ appeared. So in that way, we cannot practically even move our hand without the sanction of the super soul. Or we cannot even eat. Like for example, I want to enjoy. So how can I enjoy? Basically, there are four basic ways to enjoy in this world. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, or maybe in the society, friendship and love. Through music or whatever. In all these aspects, still the conditioned soul, is utterly dependent upon the mercy of the super soul. So that is being very again beautifully described by the Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Tav ichha mat jeevir janam maran samriddhi nipad duk sukh sanghatan. According to your will, the living entities take birth and later on are forced to leave their bodies. Miche maya bad jeeva asha pashe fire tav ichha binu kichu karite na pare. Conditioned souls, by illusion in energy, foolishly have these desires, but ashapash, the ropes of material desire. But without your will, they cannot accomplish anything. Without the will of the Supreme Lord, even the conditioned soul cannot enjoy even. It cannot even forget. So therefore, yesterday Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was explaining that forgetfulness is also mercy of Krishna. In some sense, because without forgetting Krishna, one cannot enjoy. How can one enjoy while remembering Krishna? Enjoy separately from Krishna. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur concludes that beautiful song that saying that Krishna, that you are the protector and maintainer of me. Tumi to rakshak ar palak amar, tomar charan bina asha nahi ar. You are my only protector and maintainer. I have no hope for survival without your lotus feet. Then he says, Bhakti Vinod Ati Deen Akinchan Tomar Achayatar Janam Amaran. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is a very fallen soul. Without any material possessions, his life and death depend upon your sweet will. So this mood of Bhakti Vinod Thakur to utterly depend upon Krishna and being dependent upon him as a protector and maintainer is the same mood is being reflected in the prayer in the Ishopanishad. So when a living entity conditioned soul by the grace of devotees comes to senses and understand that actually how one is suffering in this world and how it's all basically illusory happiness, then he tries to search for the true love. And basically Krishna loves us really truly. How? Because the one aspect of the true love is, of course, there is like attention, affection, attachment in a love. But the actual definition of true love is that it gives the ability to the other person to make decisions. So Krishna loves us so much that Krishna doesn't force his love. And he gave us the ability of freedom to make decisions. That is being exhibited in the form of some little free will. So when conditioned soul, a jiva understands this, or to make it more internal, when we understand this or I understand this, and then turn our attention, that free will, through the culture of repentance, that, oh my God, I have wasted so much time. I have wasted so much time forgetting you, being in the cloud of Maya, being under the cloud of Maya, being under the illusion of Maya. By the culture of repentance, prayer, just like here Bhakti Vinod Thakur is praying, and this, another prayer comes in the Ishopanishad, where a pure devotee is praying, oh my Lord, sustainer of all lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. So when in that way jiva starts to pray, and then through repentance, through the culture of intense eagerness, like Basically, the intense eagerness is the price to which we can purchase Krishna. That intense eagerness, tatra lalyam mulyam ekam. That to get out of this world, we actually have to desire that and have eagerness for that. So then Krishna lifts the veil of this cloud, basically, the cloud of Maya. However, Krishna reserves the right, as Prabhupada says, the Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to the eyes of those conditioned souls who are in a challenging spirit or who don't want to actually have it. If we don't want to come out of the Maya or face or have the reality, then why will Krishna give us? Because we don't want. So therefore, Kunti prays, Kunti Devi prays, Maya Javanika Channam Agya Dokshajam Avayam Na Lakshase Muradisham Nato Natya Dharo Yatha. That how Krishna is invisible to the foolish observer. So if we remain foolish observer, like if we remain continue our foolishness as a conditioned soul, then Krishna won't be, Krishna won't reveal himself. Then Krishna will be covered, unrecognized, like an actor dressed. So and then the curtain of the deluding energy will continue. So it depends upon us whether we want to remain the foolish observer or whether we want to come to this little sanity. So in that way, if we pray in these two verses, like the one is the prayer in the Ishopanishad by the devotee to remove this dazzling effulgence. Another is the shloka by the Kunti Devi in which she is saying that Krishna doesn't reveal himself to the foolish observer. In these two prayers, there's a comparison. We can see that in which part we want to go. We want to remain foolish observer. We want to, desire sincerely that Krishna lifts the curtain so that we can have his darshan, beautiful darshan of the Lord. And the price is tatva lalyam mulyam ekam, intense eagerness. Whatever our position may be, for Krishna it is very easy to lift the veil. But he will do so only if we will have that intense eagerness, sincerity, repentance, and like that. So in actuality, basically one can understand Krishna or one can have realization of Krishna to the degree that Krishna reveals himself. This is again explained in a very beautiful verse in Bhagavatam. It is like open sky and different birds fly in the sky. But one can fly as high as one's capacity goes. So one can actually know Krishna by the, mercy of Krishna. And to that degree, one can know Krishna and one can describe Krishna. So in summary, like how we discussed that how the background of this verse was from the different references, that how this is the third description of the Virat Rupa, and how, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, Jiva is being covered by the cloud of matter, and how Lord reserves the right to not being exposed to the foolish observer, and to the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we discuss that how we can come out of this illusory curtain or cloud of Maya and fly above the clouds, and we can rise above the clouds. In the prayer, in the first canto, when all the Pandavas went back home, back to Godhead, there this verse comes when Subhadra and Draupadi also went back, they meditated upon Krishna and they also went back home, back to Godhead. There Prabhupada writes that ultimately we all have to fly our own plane. And that plane has to be, when we are flying the plane, that plane has to be, has to be above the clouds. So this is the cloud of Maya, and we have to fly above the clouds. By the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of Vaishnavas, by the mercy of Guru Gauranga, we can fly above the clouds. And then this curtain of deluding energy of Maya is raised, and we can have the beautiful darshan of the Radha Gokulananda, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman, Gaur Nitai, Srila Prabhupada, in the core recesses of our heart and in the spiritual world, like that. So these were some of the thoughts on this verse. If there are any questions, corrections, comments, it's all up to you. Krishna.
You're talking about the creation, maintenance and destruction in your lecture, right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a comment, he says, Krishna creates, he maintains and he destroys. One who chants the holy name will never be destroyed.
Yeah. Yes. So this is comment.
So that points, holy name is above everything. Like you said in your lecture about we have to be above the clouds.
Yeah.
To perceive Krishna.
So chanting the holy name is the way to rise above the clouds. And when we chant attentively, then we can basically get over this repeated creation, maintenance and destruction. And we can go to the eternal place where there is no more creation, maintenance and destruction. That is a beautiful transcendental form of the Lord, which will be described in the further in the Bhagavatam. Anything else?
Thank you for your class, Guru. You were talking about Krishna being covered and by the cloud, Maya Javani Kachanam. Then in the Bhagavad Gita, this verse comes where Krishna says, Yoga Maya Samavrita, that, you know, I'm covered by my internal potency. So can you just say something about that? We hear sometimes about Maya covering Krishna, and then sometimes we hear about Yoga Maya covering Krishna. Can you just say something about how that...
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for bringing that point. I mean, so we as a conditioned soul, when we are in the conditioned state, we are generally covered by the Mahamaya feature of the Supreme Lord's energy. This Mahamaya feature of the Supreme Lord's energy is being explained by the Krishna also in the Bhagavad Gita. Devi hi esha gunmai mam maya durataya. So this gunmai maya, this maya, mahamaya comprising of the three modes of nature, is very difficult to overcome. But those who surrender unto me, they can overcome. So that's how we as being covered by this cloud. However, Krishna still reserves the right of to not being exposed. That's his sweet will, and that's being the covering in the yoga of the yoga maya. And we see sometimes in the case of the devotees also, Krishna sometimes reserves the right and reveals himself to a devotee to the degree, he just wants to do so. For example, there is a beautiful pastime which comes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Sarvam Bhattacharya was there and the Gopinath, cousin was there. And he was saying that you cannot understand Sarvam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. And then he was saying that you cannot understand the Mahaprabhu because you may be so big scholar and pundit, but all your knowledge is being covered. And so in that way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there himself, but Sarvam Bhattacharya was not able to appreciate him as the Yuga Avatar. And in similar way, it's up to basically Krishna to reveal him, how much he wants to reveal to a particular devotee. And again, in the spiritual world, in the pastimes of the Krishna, sometimes he is his opulence is being covered by the yoga maya to make the pastime sweeter. So in that way, how the yoga maya and the mahamaya works. I hope that helps, Maharaj. Thank you very much for that.
Hare Krishna, Dev Simbhu, thank you for the class. My question is in terms of actually Krishna revealing himself, how does he actually, how much is our own endeavor? And then at the point, that can only go so far. So what is the tipping point in terms of actually getting Krishna's mercy?
So how much is our own endeavor and how much is his mercy? What is the tipping point? Is this like that? This was very beautifully explained a few days ago in the Bhagavatam, in which these two fingers were being explained. So I'm just repeating that thing itself. So this, it's like in the Damodar Leela, we see Mother Yashoda was trying to bind Krishna. Then there was one finger of the effort, one finger of the mercy. So then it was said that we really have to deeply desire that we want to have darshan of Krishna. We want to get out of this world. And that deep desire becomes intensified in the association of devotees, having the same desires. Sangat sanjayate kama. Like if we desire, if we associate with the devotees who are similarly having that lalyam or developing lalyam in their life, or developing that sincerity and repentance in their life, so then we will be also affected by that desires. So with this we develop our desire, we develop our sincerity, we try our best, but ultimately it depends upon Krishna's mercy. And so that's the second part, and Krishna still reserves the right. And the good news is Krishna wants us back. Krishna loves us very much. He's just waiting for us to at least take some few steps. So that intensity means, like, it's very simple in one line. Vishaye je priti ebe achaye amar sahi mat priti habe charne tumar. So the tipping point is the way with so much dedication and sincerity we have tried to enjoy this material world and sense objects. So a devotee is praying, I know how to love. A devotee prays, I know how to love, because I have loved these sense objects for so long, for so many lifetimes. I have applied all my intelligence, all my creativity, all my energy, all my plans in sense gratification. So the same way, my dear Lord, may I aspire you, may I desire you, and may I yearn for you. May I become obsessed with you. May I become addicted for you. The same way. So it's very simple. Like the way we had the desire for sense gratification, the same way we can have desire for Krishna. And same way we can make effort. Another beautiful verse says, as the young boy desire the association of the young girl, as the young girl desire the association of young boy, similarly, my dear Lord, may all my loving sentiments flow unto your lotus feet like that. Thank you. So time is 8:35 and it's a breakfast time. So Parikshit Maharaj was on the deathbed and he was like still clarifying. He was on a fast for 7 days. We are not on a fast. We have to take prasadam. So thank you very much for the kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.